Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. we got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a hell of a lady on our show today. Not just a lady, but a tremendous gladiator at that. She's done my show several times, so without further ado, Marion Renault. Marion, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. You got kind of fancy since I last got on here. That was quite the intro.
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of a little humbling when you got Bone Thugs and Harmony doing your commercial for your sponsor. And then you Yeah, and then you got the world-famous Mr. Steve Inman, the voice of King of the Cage, and Inman Studios doing my fighter's intro. So it's kind of cool. We're getting a little bit bigger.
That is awesome.
You know, Yeah, you know, like I told you before we went live, I wanted you on my 500th episode so bad. You know, the sport has changed, and I really feel that I'm welcomed in it now because – you know, when I first started this platform off, it kind of took off slowly, you know, because everybody wants to hear the hype, the hoopla, the drama, all the stuff that they see on TV. They want to hear it correlated in a radio show. And I decided I was going to create a platform that was made for the fighter to share who they are. So with that being said, I mean, the show is just growing tremendous. I just had my 500th episode. But not only that, we're branching out to different aspects and different genres. I had Steve-O from Jackass on the 1st of January 1st, and that was quite a different show, but that's besides the point. We got one of the greatest fighters in UFC history on my show today, and it's quite an honor because in the beginning, I mean, let's just get right to it, Marion. In the beginning, you were told that you might be too old to compete. So how does it feel now for you, homie, to be able to look at him and kind of thumb him back in the eye, knowing that you're now pound for pound, I think, the 9th-ranked fighter in the world?
Yeah, I think I had that conversation with one of my friends the other day. I was 36 when they told me that. They thought I was too old. And now I am on my way to be almost 43. So, man, it's kind of like I don't think about it too much, but it's like, wow, I've come a long ways.
Yeah, you certainly have. And, you know, this interview is about you, but I just want to throw in an aspect from this last weekend. You know, Macy Barber had went out there and said, out with the old and in with the new, because she was facing Roxanne Modafferi.
And we see how that worked out for her, didn't we?
Oh, we most certainly did.
You better watch yourself. I'm telling you, she got dominated. But,
oh, yeah. That was
I mean, you can't count anybody out, whether they're old or new. I mean,
especially,
you know, certain people. She's only a pretty humble young lady. I mean, she's blown in the sport. I've watched her. Her striking has gotten better. Her aggression has gotten better. So it's kind of a rude thing to say. So, yeah.
I've watched your striking get better. I've watched you kind of get a little bit younger, you know, in the past year or so. You know, you've correlated yourself with Aspen Ladd, Andrea KGB Lee, and other aspects of the UFC. What has that aspect added in creating a younger Marion Renault? Because I see your training tapes, I see different aspects of you. You don't seem to be getting any older. So has, you know, correlating yourself with that aspect, has it truly given you that fountain of youth again?
It gives me motivation, that's for sure. And, you know, you don't want to go out there and pull out the old card and be like, well, you're younger than me, that's why I can't keep up. That'll never happen. So it just motivates me to keep up with the young bucks. You know, if not, fake it till I make it.
Right, I did. No, I'm joking. You know, but it's kind of cool on both sides because, you know, we talked about my 500th episode. I had Dan the Beast Severn on, and he lied to the UFC, and he told them he was 30 when he was actually 40. And he went on to beat some of the greatest fighters that ever existed in the sport after his 40th birthday. You know, Marion, what does it mean for you knowing that you are capable of going out there and fighting these 20-year-olds? What does it mean to you that you can, you know, hang with them, that you're constantly an aspect that they need to watch out for?
Well, I don't label myself. I don't go out there and be like, oh, I'm this 42-year-old that hangs with the young bucks. I'm more of like, hey, I am this athlete who is hanging with another athlete. So I don't put a number on it. And I just go out there and do what I know I'm capable of. And that's, you know, fighting my best fight, no matter what age somebody is or what age I am.
That's true. You know, Marion, I want to ask you kind of a redundant question. You've probably been asked this 1,000 times, but I want to hear your meaning of it. What does perseverance truly mean to Marion Renault?
Well, it's being told no many times, and every single time showing them that you're wrong. It's not having food in your cupboard or your refrigerator, but proving that you were worth everything that you sacrificed in order to put food in that refrigerator. It's having to sacrifice family time. It's so much more than just a word. It's pretty much a habit, and that's what I made it.
That's why I think you are where you're at in the sport today. You know, you're one of the few fighters that truly shares all aspects of yourself on social media. I want to give you a bad time because I can for a second. You know, no, it's a good way. You posted a picture, and it was kind of I don't know what you'd call the look on your face, that kind of like, oh, I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar or whatever it was. And you asked people to post a comment to that picture.
Yeah.
And I
never even really told anybody what I was really thinking. But I remember that picture. I know what you're talking about.
Well, we're going to get to what you're really thinking in a second. But, you know, over the years knowing you and interviewing you, I know how much fun you have in waking your son up, catching him asleep in the car. You know? And so that was my comment to the picture because I know you thoroughly enjoy that. You know, but since you brought it up, what was the true meaning behind that picture?
I was like, I think I was watching one of my girls roll, and she was struggling with something, and I'm like, man, if only she could just tap me in. I was like, just tap me in, and I'll take over from here. But, yeah, I'm like, this is not WWE. We can't do that. But I was willing to switch places at that moment with one of my girls who was rolling. Like, just let me do it. Come here. Come in.
I love it. You know, Marianne, that's one thing I really dig about you, because you're an educator. You're a tremendous person in your walk. And you also teach jiu-jitsu and have so many different variables to you that, you know, life is truly treasured through your path. What does it mean for you to be able to repave or continue to pave the road for these younger fighters coming up that respect you or just respect the sport in general?
Oh, it's kind of inspirational. It kind of becomes your motivation. It's a passion I never thought I saw myself doing, as far as opening up my own gym and, you know, holding classes where, you know, I'm one of the head instructors and I'm in charge of such and such and such and such. It's something I take seriously. You know, I always tell my girls there's one thing that I always will do, and I will always show up on time and I will always show up ready, because it means a lot to me to be out here. So I think it's my duty, so to speak. I've been doing this for a very long time. I've dedicated a lot of my world, my time to it. So giving back is kind of like my duty. I feel like I'm such a perfectionist, I need to do it, if that makes any sense.
You know, that's a tremendous way to put it. You know, I always told myself, if I ever had you back on this show, there was a specific question that I wanted to ask you, because most shows don't ask fighters, you know, but you're a fine example of this aspect of the sport. You know, when you go out there and you know you win a fight, but yet it goes to the scorecards and, you know, you get screwed, per se. You know, how does a professional fighter, a person of your magnitude, just slough that off and prepare for the next fight? You know, because it doesn't appear that it hinders you in any manner.
It doesn't hinder me going into my next fight. However, it's an afterthought as soon as it's over. And then it's a reevaluation of what I could have done better in order to make sure the win was secured or the nod was in my favor. So I think, being the athlete and the perfectionist that I am, I go back and I re-examine myself and I chastise myself. Like, you should have done such and such. You should have done such and such. This is your fault. So it's one of those things that motivates me not to make that mistake again.
Yeah, like fighting Beth Correa in Brazil. that fight just has me so mad still. Because, I mean, you got screwed over.
Oh, yeah. There's been a couple of those fights, but you bite down your mouthpiece, you get back inside the cage, and you just try and do better.
You know, Marianne, in life we got people that push us, that, you know, give us that intent, inspire us, and they build us up. But what does it mean for you to have that fan support, to see the base of Marianne Renault just continue to grow, the fans continue to flock to you because of what you bring to the sport? What does it mean for you to have that aspect in your life along with the others?
It's kind of a surreal moment every now and again when you have somebody come up and, hey, I'm a huge fan, do you mind if I take a picture? Do you mind if you sign these cards for me? Do you mind? It's surreal because, heck, you know, I'm just this small town girl from Porterville, California, who just had dreams of being a track star, you know, and here I am on the big stage, in a cage, at the ripe age of 42, just in my prime. So I just feel That's so amazing.
Yeah. Well, here I sit at 55, and I don't feel half as good as you do. Trust me on that. You know, I want to take you back a little bit because we know your love for the sport is defined. I mean, there's no doubt in that. But what took Marion Renault, a graduate of California State University, Long Beach, with your degree in sports medicine, what took you to the octagon? What took you to that aspect and made you decide at this point in time that you were going to grow from there?
It was Marky in my kindergarten grade who took my apple and I punched him in the stomach. I was destined to be a fighter. I think every grade after that, I got in a fight in some way, shape, or form. And I feel like it was my destiny. If I don't do it, it's either I'm going to fight on the streets and get arrested or I need to fight in a cage. But of course, you know, there's so much more to that than just, you know, that being my destiny. But there was a moment where I was a single parent, and although I was a teacher at the time, it just wasn't paying the bills. And so I had to do something for myself and for my son. And so when I seen, you know, two ladies fighting, and I'm like, they're fighting for money, I want to do that. And I've always been into boxing. I used to watch it with my dad. So it was just one of those things that just became second nature to me, and I picked up on it after that.
You've been tremendous at it, my friend. I love when you're on the fight card because I know it's going to be a good night. You know, I don't really care. You know, people ask me all the time, Don, did you watch the fight? No. I mean, because we live this sport. I live, eat, and breathe this sport, so I don't always watch every fight. I'm actually more of a Muay Thai freak than I am an MMA freak. But you've always inspired me. You know, I've been around since the conception of WMMA and probably even men's aspect, you know, if you want to really put it in years, it goes to show you how old I am. But what you do is electrifying. What you do is tremendous. You're a true athlete. You know, the jiu-jitsu that you have in your, you know, arsenal is tremendous. You know, you have a tremendous, you know, gym that you bring up the youth in. What is it that you would like to share with the sport going forward as you know, one of the best in the world?
Well, especially for the young ones, you know, because they're going to be our future. It's just, it's important for me to portray that discipline to them and what it truly means to have the arsenal that they're going to possess, you know, and their skill and how to respect it. I feel like we need to educate our kids. I feel like this is something that needs to be introduced into our school systems, any type of martial arts, any type of discipline. I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things that anyone and everyone can try. Anyone and everyone can do. I've seen it, and they don't have to be a certain size. They don't have to be a certain shape. But they can build confidence doing it. And I feel like this is one of those sports that will curb depression and PTSD, post-traumatic stress. You know, I just feel this is the sport. Martial arts is where we need our focus to be on.
Yeah. I love that you put it that way because this last year was probably one of the hardest years for me in this sport. You know, I lost nine brothers this year, and it was pretty hard. Hey, but you got to also realize and look at the different aspects. You know, I'm 13 years older than you, so the fighters that I'm talking about, most of them are, you know, got at the age where it was time for them to go. Others, you know, decided to take a different aspect in life. You know, the world is a very hard place to live in. And on top of that, like we talked about earlier, you're a teacher in two different aspects, in school and in the gym. You know, what burden or what weight does Marion Renault can, you know, have on her shoulders that she has to carry that, you know, can't be overlooked? You laugh at me.
No, and I don't mean to laugh. You know, I don't feel like I carry a weight, or it's not a burden to me, so what I do is not a burden. But if you were to ask me, so are you, you know, are you really busy? You know, how is your time? Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, I'll put it in layman's terms, since I talk that way anyway. How do you handle the chaos? I mean, because you're a woman of many hats. I mean, so how do you handle all the aspects that you're divulged in?
One little aspect at a time. I don't try to do too many things. Sometimes I do get caught up, like this weekend, I totally forgot about the chaperone that I was supposed to do at the winter formal, and it was because I was just so darn tired that it slipped my mind until it was too late. And sometimes I get too busy, but I just really try to hone in and take one day at a time and set my priorities where they need to be. And plus, I'm surrounded by tons of friends and family who are more than willing to step up and help me if I need help.
Yeah, I like that. You know, you're going to be fighting soon. We can't say who, you know, but there's something in the works. What's it going to mean for Marion Renault to finally get back in the octagon?
I'm excited. My coach is excited. My coaches, we're really excited to finally get a chance to step back into the octagon and really display what we've been working on for a little over a year now. So, you know, just really show that we can finish fights and you know, stay in there and hang in there with, I guess, those young bucks.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys are on fire. I mean, you look at Andre KGB Lee, you look at Aspen Ladd, you look at you, and you guys are creating havoc. I mean, you know, a lot of people say, oh, we're from a small town in Northern California. But you're making a huge impact on the sport. I mean, you guys are doing something. I don't know if it's the water, if it's the trainers or what up there, but you guys are starting to create a big name for yourself in the sport. You know, I know it's humbling, but what does it mean for you to now have that extra layer? I know I asked you a question about it earlier, but what does it mean now for you to have that extra layer to look at with Andrea KGB Lee being added in with Aspen Ladd and you?
It's motivation. I think I think fighters in general are a different breed, but I think us three put together, we just have that mindset. And when we get together, I mean, we know how to have fun. We play Aspen with her hikes, and Andrea KB, she's just all over the place. And then, you know, what I'm doing, we play hard, but we train harder. And I think that is key to keeping us motivated. We just know when to turn it on. And when it's on, it's on.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to stay on for a long time to come, because you guys are doing something right. You know, I want to ask you kind of a Barbara Walters kind of question, because it's how I roll. You know, you get that moment. You do live in a small town in California, I will give you that. But you walk by and you look out the back window and you're looking at the scenery. And for just a brief moment, you see inside of who you are. You get a glimpse of your life in passing. What does Marion Renault see?
I see a full life. I see a woman who has had a really full, successful life. You know, it wasn't perfect, and by no means is it perfect now, but it's perfect for me. And every year it changes. And so I think I look back and I'm like, wow, I did all that? I need to write a book.
You need to. I think that's what's next for you. You really need, well, as long as you leave out when you go to the dime store or yard sales or when you find another fur baby.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started. I just found a dog at school today, and I'm like, I should take it home. And then I thought about the look on Mondo's face and what it would look like if I brought another animal home. Oh, he would just kill me.
I love it because I remember the time he gave you came home from, I guess, garage selling or going to yard sales and the truck was packed.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. I will never forget it. His face, and it was so funny because Jim does not like vintage items as well. And he was like, I felt his pain. You could just see it in his heart, his soul. He was in so much agony over all the crap you had. He called it my old junk. And I'm like, these are treasures. And he's like, old junk. Yeah, he hated it. Oh, man. Anytime I tell him, hey, I'm going vintage shopping with my mom, he's like, here, take my car because it's really small. I'm like, no, can't fit nothing in there.
Oh, it's funny. You know, hey, I'm the same way. You know, I get razzed on all the time because I keep everything. I clutch everything. I keep everything. I'm not a hoarder. I'm just a person that likes a lot of things. So,
yeah. No, I'm not. I like collecting older things. I like collecting old cameras, old typewriters. I like Raggedy Ann dolls, Cabbage Patch dolls. I just like older items.
Yeah. Well, so do I. I mean, I feel you there, but I also feel Mondo. I'm not going to have homework mad at me.
Yeah.
I agree with
he gave me
there.
One room.
You,
he said, this is your one room where you can stick it in. That's it. So I have one room where I can put as many old things in there as I want. He can't tell me anything.
That's not fair. I'll agree with you because Jim agrees with him, so we'll make it even. So.
Oh man, yeah. They always go up against me, especially when it comes to those boys and their biceps. I call them meatheads in the weight room, always doing their bicep curls. So anytime me and Mondo go work out together, and I'm doing my runs or whatever, I always film him doing biceps, and I send it to Jim. I'm like, here's your bicep, buddy. And he's just a cheater, and he'll split me off.
Oh, that's funny. They got a romance with biceps.
Oh, they do. They do. And I love making fun of it.
You know, Maureen, with all jokes aside, you know, we've known each other for, gosh, I think it's been 3 years now, right? Something like that. You've been coming on my show. It's been a while. You know, I love what you've done as a gladiator. As Stitch says, they're not warriors. You guys are gladiators, you know, and you truly are. I love what you've done in the sport, and I truly admire the perseverance that you have as a warrior and a gladiator. And the path that you've created for yourself in life is second to none. You know, you should be commended. And, yeah, you should write that book because I'd be one to buy it because I don't know how you wear all the hats that you do. But
no.
If you had to say a simple thank you to the sport, you know, for them truly backing you and believing in you, what would that statement be, my friend?
You mean what would it be or who would it be to?
Well, let's do both.
Well, obviously, you know, thank you, that cliche. There's no way I could give back what was given to me, but to give back myself. So I guess that's my huge thank you to those who have helped me, is by me giving back what they've taught me and then growing from that. A big, huge thank you to, obviously, any and everybody who I've trained with, coaches, both good and bad, because they put me in a place where I'm mentally stronger, I'm more capable, and they've got there to work with me and give me the knowledge that they've attained over the course of the years. So it's just, it's not just any one person, because, you know, iron sharpens iron, so I need everybody in my corner in order to sharpen that warrior that's going in the cage.
Most definitely, and very well said. You know, Marianne, like I said, I truly appreciate it. I know you're kind of short on time today because you got to run and teach class or do whatever, many things you do. But, you know, I want to thank you for each and every time taking time out of your day to come on my show and share a little bit of who you are with my listeners. And I love your parents and their friends because they totally make my demographics jump up, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, last time I had you on, my demographics jumped from 18 to 83, so I was like, yeah.
Okay, it's well, right on.
It's cool, though, that, no, I mean, because it shows how many people you inspire and how many people want to see you succeed. You know, and since you're now 29 going on 30, you know, how would Marianne Bonneau like to be most remembered in this sport?
Well, I still want to be remembered to this day. I'm not out of the game yet, but if I were to leave this game, definitely be remembered as somebody who, when she stepped in the cage, you never knew what you were going to get. You thought she was the underdog, and then you saw it wrong. I am that element of surprise, so I want everybody to remember me as that person who, no matter what, gave it everything she got and became that element of surprise for everyone.
I like that. I really do. That's a tremendous quote. See, you should put that in your book, Mari. You really need to write a book.
I'm doing some notes. I don't know. Do people even read books anymore? I might have to make it an audio book.
Hey, I know a couple people that just put out books, and they're actually selling quite well. Whether it's an audio book or a regular book, I'd be more than willing to buy it. Hey, Liam McGarry did it from Bellator when he became the world champion in the light heavyweight division, and it was a number three bestseller in the top 10. So, you know, you got a little bit longer of a story to tell. Marianne, you truly are a tremendous gladiator. You truly keep showing the sport time and time again why you're here and who you're about. And you do it with such class and style as to be commended. You know, I love your sense of humor on social media. I love when you go to the fights and you represent yourself because you do it with class. And that's becoming a rarity in our sport. You know, so first and foremost, I want to thank you for being you. And secondly, I want to thank you for joining my show today. I'm going to toss the mic to you, homie. If there's any friends or family, any social media site, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours.
Well, if they want to hit me up on social media, I usually respond to my Twitter. And they can hit me up under my name, Marianne Renault. And as far as thanking people, again, you know, I have tremendous coaches, not only at MMA Gold. I have the number one manager in the game, Gangster Dave, stepped in. And obviously, you know, my friends, family, and coaches here at Trifecta. I just like to say I appreciate you guys, and 2020 is going to be our year.
You know, I wholeheartedly believe that because I don't care. There's something about you that's just ready to pop off in this sport. I know it. Everybody else knows it. Marianne, continue to shine. Continue the show sport. what you're truly made of and why you're one of the top-ranked fighters in the world, my friend. You truly have blessed the sport, and you're a force to be reckoned with, homie. So much for that small town of California, right?
Right. Thank you for having me. Nice and sweet.
You have a tremendous evening, my friend. Thank you. And I can't wait to your fight announcement. Hopefully you decide to do it on my show, and we can share you with the world. Tell your parents I said hi and thank you. And you have a tremendous evening, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Marion Renault. Kind of a little kickback interview. She's got something in the works, but we can't talk about it just yet. I was kind of hoping we were going to be able to, but, you know, nonetheless, keep your eyes open. I'm telling you what, MMA Gold up there in that little tiny corner of California has proven to create some tremendous athletes. You look at Max Griffin. You look at Aspen Ladd. You got Andrea KGB Lee up there now. You got Marion Renault. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, you know. Must be something in the water. The coaches are doing something right, and I bet it's the coaches doing something right. You know, I tell you what, keep your eyes peeled, because Marion's going to bring it in her next fight. I know it, I feel it, and she just truly is one that I've always loved her career. But with that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch-Turan and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, and the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie. On that note, have a good day, and God bless.
Looking for, girl, it's your love. That's what I need.